It isn't what we say or think that defines us, but what we do. Jane Austen. This is the What We Do by Kira Kazantsev podcast. This week on What We Do, I sit down with Jenny Poulos to discuss everything from mentorship to IVF to bullying, making it in the business, what's happening in the entertainment business today, and much more. Jenny is on the hit series Flipping Out with Jeff Lewis on Bravo, and she's an actress, comedian, rapper extraordinaire, and most importantly, amazing mama to two beautiful daughters and wife to her wonderful husband. Jenny has an unparalleled zest for life, and I am so honored to call her a friend. Jenny, thank you for joining me.
Kira, my girl, my Miss America.
Welcome to What We Do.
I'm so happy to be here talk about what we do.
We actually met in kind of a strange way. You were a judge at the Miss America competition when I was outgoing.
Yes, I was. I was a preliminary judge, which was a fascinating and wonderful experience.
So how was the whole process for you?
You know, I obviously had known about pageants, but I didn't understand what an incredible, excruciating process it is in how amazing these women are and what they go through. Not only is it very involved, but it was so fascinating to see what all these women have accomplished in their own right, how they, so many of them, bonded throughout the process, the scholarships that are offered, the opportunities for women. And it's a wonderful organization. I couldn't have enjoyed my time more. I would do it again in a heartbeat. And I think that if you don't understand the organization, that you should look into it, because what they do, I think, isn't even completely represented, you know, to the public. Yeah. And it should be.
Jenny and I spoke about how she first got her start in the entertainment business and her thoughts on the wave of sexual assault allegations currently being revealed.
Well, number one, I went to UCLA and was, you know, immediately when I was a freshman, enrolled in Groundlings, going for Saturday Night Live. Right at that point was right when Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry were entering in, and Chris Kattan, and such a lovely group of people. And I said, that's going to be me someday. And, you know, my life and course took a different trajectory, which, you know, I wrote a whole book about failing my way to the successes of my life. And, you know, I wouldn't have the loves of my life, which is my husband and my two daughters. So, you know, I say to people, just trust the ride, trust the journey. Don't be destination focused and you'll get to a great destination. So I had several very small parts that you would never know about in a lot of things. I received my first job on a Billy Graham film where I decided to take one line and answer the door. I made my character, I made the housekeeper. I decided that she should have a Spanish accent, which was probably just not the best choice. You know, that's not one for the books that I'd love everyone to
take
see.
Risks.
Right. Yes, exactly. And then the odd things, an episode of America's Most Wanted, you know, a stint on Moesha. And I was really wanting to be on Saturday Night Live. I had done a one-woman show and did a Something You Never Saw with Dr. Drew. And a lot of different roads in a show called Jutopia, which went off
Jutopia?
Broadway.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yes, I shared the role with another girl, and I played seven Jewish girls, even though I'm
You're Greek Orthodox.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. But the Jews, like my mom says, they are the trunk of the tree and we're all the branches. I firmly believe that. So then my ex-husband and I were developing some semi-scripted show, and I talked Jeff Lewis into being, you know, a part of our presentation tape, and that turned into the network and the production company loving Jeff Lewis, and my whole life took a very different turn that I'm thankful for today, but at that moment, I was very terrified of it, and I would say to people, you know, bloom where you're planted. It's a gardening tip. It's a Bible verse. It's also just do what you're do good at where you're at and you will most likely definitely get to where you want to be. I'm still on that journey, you know, and I have had to spend a lot of time learning that it's not about the destination, but it is about the journey. As an artist and the work, as a human, as a mother, as a wife, you have to enjoy the journey. And that's why they say the present is a gift. So I'm trying to do that more and more. And, you know, if you're ever a control freak, that's hard to do. But I have definitely seen harassment. I've definitely seen, I think, the unfair side of any business, right? Which is bullying, which is, you know, if you're a strong woman, then you are considered oftentimes to be a bitch or bossy or annoying. So I think that this turn is somebody, unfortunately, that abused power for a long time. People looked the other way, and now people are not wanting to look the other way. Because you'll see almost every woman I've talked to that's been in Hollywood has had a story that they kind of have buried that they don't even remember, myself included. When I was young, I had something happen, and it just came up in a conversation recently where I said, oh, well, yeah, I guess I kind of have had something, the casting couch happen. But, you know, for me more, I think it was just as a woman that at a certain age, well, your shelf life has expired as an actor, as an artist. You'll never be this, you'll never be that. And it's all lies, really. Yeah. It's all lies. And so the lies are being debunked, which is very, very hopeful.
Yeah.
It's very wonderful. I think a lot of the muck of this time is coming to the surface. It's scary, but it's also, you have to look at the positive side, which is all this stuff is coming to the surface. And it's going to heal, it's going to provide change, and it's going to provide a real shift. How are we going to go forward in that? I don't know that there's an answer, but I do know that if every one of us can care a little bit more, if we see somebody that we think is in pain, or if we can reach out and be empathetic to somebody, that could actually change their life. And how do we not know that unless we put our own self aside and try? And you can say, well, these people that have done these horrific acts, they have mental health issues. Right. But at one point, right, they were a child, that's somebody's baby. And they started out with a life and dreams and a hope and a future. And why can't we as the human race say, okay, it's time to say we're going to help. And we're not just going to say it's too late to help. We're going to help. We're going to wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to do double than what I could. And that's at least a step in the right direction.
In terms of the little bit that you can do, when I first moved to LA, you were one of the only people I knew here, and you took time to have lunch with me and to mentor me, and I really, really appreciate that. So I wanted to ask you what the role of mentorship has played in your life, and if there have been some really important and impactful mentors that have helped you get to where you are today.
100% the answer is yes. I look at this person as more of my partner in so many things, but she absolutely has helped shape my life, my career. Kathleen King is her name, and she co-wrote my book. She co-wrote the Watch What Happens Live rap I do for Andy
We're
Cohen.
We're going to talk about your raps in a second.
She has worked with me in every capacity to change the way I've thought, which was quite negative, about my career. She's taught me how hard I have to work to get the things it is that I say that I want about running my own race, and just somebody that has always been on my side. And I think that we all need that. We all need somebody that actually genuinely wants us to succeed in whatever we are doing. So I think it's so important. I think everybody should have that in their lives. My mom has also been an incredible role model for me, a strong woman, even though she's 5 feet tall. Her faith has shaped me and who I am, and her tenacity, her love of people, and more importantly, you know, her love of God. And, you know, everybody says, well, it's such a sticky situation. And what I believe is that we all really have the same foundation, religion organized our differences. Really, if you boil it all down, we're all at the same place where we start from and where we end up at. So she taught me everything in moderation. She taught me how to be fiery and go for what I want. And one thing I really respect about my mom is when it was time for me to go out in the world, you know, she let me go. And I never felt guilty about not being with her. She wanted to see me have my life. And I will always appreciate that. And I hope that for my daughters, you know, if I have to come near them when they go to have their future in their life, I will follow them. But I've never been made to feel guilty that I went out and did my thing. So she made me an independent woman, and I thank her for that.
So you mentioned your daughters, and yes, they're so cute. I will post some photos of them when this goes live.
Thank you.
But
they both look like my husband, but he makes a good-looking woman, so that's good.
I mean, I can't argue with that. They're adorable. But Amy, you definitely faced some challenges with fertility and pregnancy and being public about it. So I was stalking you a little extra more than I do normally. And, you know, reading about your struggles with fertility and being open about that. Did women reach out to you and tell you, you know, I've dealt with that too? How was it to be so public about something that's pretty personal?
I have had an incredible outpouring of people telling me, sharing their stories. And not only did it put mine into perspective in such a way that I thought this was nothing, what I went through. I mean, I've had people write to me and people that I know in my own life that have gone through IVF 13 times.
Oh my God.
Some of them have children because of, you know, the tenacity of staying on the course. Others decided to stop. Some went to adoption. But what I do find the common ground is that everybody seems to say that, you know, the right child or the right path came to them. And I think that that's the important thing. For our journey, we decided to be public because we didn't really have a choice. I've been on a show, you know, where they film our lives, you know, work and sometimes a bit personal for 7 months out of the year. So I came to my husband, who is quite private, and I said, this is what I think we need to do. I think we've got to go all in. And because we also had people close to us in our own lives that had dealt with IVF, and he thought about it and processed it as men do. He went to his little man cave situation and then back. Unlike me, he was just come on, what are we doing? You know, and he did. We decided to do it, and it was the best decision we ever made, because I've had many people say they tried again because of watching our story. They were invigorated to give it another go, and you know, I'm not that young at all. So I would say to anyone listening, do your research, find the doctor that you know in your gut is right for you. Please interview a few people. Don't just settle on the first person you come to. You have to really feel right about it. It's a very emotional and a very long journey, but it was so worth it. And I look at my second daughter, who just, she wouldn't be here had we given up. And we were very close to doing that, as we all are in all walks of our life, you know, and it's just about staying the course. I also found it interesting because my mom wasn't very excited in the beginning about me doing IVF. And today I see her, you know, with her second granddaughter, and she said I was wrong, you know, and that's
why wasn't she excited?
You know, I think she was scared. She comes from a different time, and it was saying, wait a minute, are you testing science to spirituality, which is a fascinating thing to talk about? You know, no, it was still the plan of God or the universe or whatever you believe, but it was another route to get there. And I met some amazing people along the way. I was able to have so many people that I didn't even know, but I feel like I knew support me, you know, through our show. And I wouldn't have traded one moment for it. And I watched, you know, and this is something for anyone listening, that you don't know where your life will be in a year from where you're at today, or in a month for that matter. That's why you have to just fully commit to living every day and knowing that things will work how they are supposed to for the divine tapestry of life. Because when I watched back our season and I saw the episode, I was crying to Jeff, you know, who I work with on our show Flipping Out on Bravo. I was crying to him saying, you know, I had gone through IVF, it failed, and I went in thinking it was a definite going to be a success because at, you know, my age, I had 26 eggs in the beginning of the process and it went down to nothing. And he said to me, you know, you probably aren't going to have another chance to have a child. You know, you got to look into other avenues. And I'm crying watching this episode holding my daughter because at that point we had gone, our shows run a little lapsed. And I went, man, this is a lesson for everyone to know things are not as they seem.
Ever wonder where you can get one of those awesome custom Snapchat geo filters? Or maybe you're thinking about starting your own podcast or lifestyle brand, but you don't know how to go about getting your logos and branding set up. Socialyte has you covered. Started by fierce female entrepreneur Alexa Rogers, Socialyte Design creates custom Snapchat geo filters, custom printables, logos, and can help make your wedding, bachelorette, birthday, or any event even more special. Lucky for you, she's offering What We Do listeners an awesome deal. Just use code WHATWEDO at sociallightdesign.etsy.com and all first-time clients will receive 10% off your first order. That's coupon code WHATWEDO at social, S-O-C-I-A-L, light, L-I-G-H-T, design.etsy.com. And you can check them out at Socialyte Design on Instagram. Now back to the show. I saw something funny in an interview that you did that your older daughter is now recognizing your rapping skills and she's not sure if she's proud of them or embarrassed.
She's on the fence. That's very true.
Okay, so I want to know, how did you discover that you had this rapping prowess?
Well, I loved rap in high school. Will Smith, Parents Just Didn't Understand, Young MC, The Humpty Dance, Digital Underground.
Oh my gosh.
So there was always the love of rap and storytelling and poetry on steroids, if you will. So then in college, I subbed in for my friend's band. It was called Juicy at the time. And then we did, you know, comedy rap. And so that kind of then my friends dropped out and I took the full position. And then we turned into a comedic rap band that performed for many years. And then it just kept growing from there. And I would do weddings and make up raps at my friends' parties, birthdays. And everybody, or not everybody, but, you know, there's a fair amount of people that laugh at me and clown me. And I'm okay with it because I just keep rapping and keep jamming. And then I did Andy Cohen's theme song, which I co-wrote with Kathleen King. And we wrote it, you know, going on just to do it when his show was in its first season. And we did it just kind of as a ode to him. And then he was lovely and made it his theme song and has kept it his theme song all these years as his show has exploded.
Which is so cool.
So yeah, it's cool to see Cher or somebody on and then they're like, Andy Cohen's got the full one. So my thing is everybody can clown and make fun. And we're currently working on a children's animation show now, which will incorporate all the music. And we've recorded a lot more of raps for children, which I'm really enjoying because I think it's a wonderful way to teach and be expressive. And, you know, Aliana someday will appreciate.
With all of Jenny's success, she's experienced a ton of support, love, and laughter. But sometimes there are people who, instead of laughing along, judge via social media. How do you deal with online trolls, people reaching? Because you have a huge social media following. So I'm sure it opens floodgates for some interesting comments.
I choose to ignore it all when it's negative. You know, it's very hard. You want to at least just make one comment back, you know, just one response. And then, but that just never, ever bodes well. So I think the best way is to just ignore and the behavior will go away. But it gets under your skin. And my thing, and I say this sometimes to some of my friends, who once you start looking at comments and you get into it, and it's just a vortex. Mm-hmm. And then you're obsessing about it. And it's not a good place to be. There's so many wonderful things about social media. We know that. But there are some not so wonderful things. And you can get caught up in it. I think it can kill creativity. I think the next thing you know, you're just spinning on something that isn't even real. But I feel for our children and our younger generation, because, you know, a lot of people have talked about how bullying now can't just stop at school.
Yeah, you bring it home.
It can continue because they bully on the internet, they bully through the Facebook, they bully. So, you know, the thing is, stand up to the bully. I do have a song, actually. Bullies aren't cool. They don't rule on the street or at school. And what's funny is the bullies out there of the world are really the most fearful of us all. And they're scared, so they're bullying. And you stand up to the bully and, you know, all of a sudden they back off into the corner.
Yeah.
And it's sad that you have to get into that position. But, you know, those hurting people hurt people. I've found it's just not personal. They're attacking the net. Like, if I'll see somebody say, once in a while, I'm not going to say, I don't go and say, who is this person that said this terrible thing? And then you see them bad mouthing 19 people in their feed. Just that's just their thing.
Yeah.
So then you go,
I'm not special.
I feel like someone should send this person flowers. They're so unhappy. You know, this is not a good place to be. They need free hugs. Something's going really wrong. You know,
that's great advice. All right, next time somebody says something mean, I'll send them flowers with this card that says free hugs.
Free hugs. Right?
Perfect.
Or thank you for inspiring me.
Yeah.
To get even more on the path of what I was going to do.
Exactly. Lighting that fire.
That's right.
Okay, Jenny, last question. So this podcast is all about what we do as women. So looking back through your career thus far, what is one moment that you're very, very proud of something that you did, a choice that you made, something that you said, something that you did that stands out to you as a career-defining moment or life-defining moment that is really important to you?
I think when I went on Showtime at the Apollo and brought the house down, that was definitely a wonderful moment. It was so terrifying to go on stage and be booed, rub the stump, and then break out in an incredible rap and send hot fire through the whole place. So I think I would say that owning that I am unique, owning and not apologizing for it, which I've done a lot of the time and is probably wasted a lot of time for me, and owning that nobody should put you in a box. You define how hard you want to work. Mm-hmm. You define what you become. That's really the only control you have, is defining how good you want to be at something, how much you want to put into something, whether that's your work, your marriage, your relationships. And I would say I've made a lot of bad choices in hopes to hopefully make some better choices.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, being publicly humiliated with the ending of my first marriage on a reality TV show and going, why is this my road? You know, I was going for an acting career, and the last thing you would want to be is known on television for not really being an actor, but actually an assistant to someone and looking like somewhat of a failure, because, you know, actors oftentimes don't say, oh, I'm a waiter, but then an actor, or I'm a part-time assistant, you know. And then I looked at when all this came up, you know, 11 years ago, and I said, wait a minute, I don't want to get known for this, wasn't the plan. You know, and that defining moment of trusting to just go right in hopes that it would take me left is probably and most definitely the best choice I've ever made, because I'm a better artist because of it, whatever that means, learning, failing all the time. I think when you say you're really great at something, or you say you're not terrified of something, is when you're not really doing it. You know, I just spoke to this wonderful writer, and he said, every time I'm in front of the screen, this is somebody very accomplished, I think I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. And then I just start typing and I start writing and it happens and it goes. And, you know, my husband is a very amazing surgeon, and he always says, and I see it in his face, that he's always terrified. And I think to really be good at something, if you don't have those feelings, then you're not really doing it.
Yeah.
And so the whole journey, I would say, for me has been not knowing, but just keep working hard and trusting and running your own race. And so there's been a lot of those moments throughout the years. And looking back, I wouldn't want anything any differently, although it was never what I had planned or saw for myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I hope everybody listening remembers to run their own race and be their own person, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you're barely, you know, as a woman, if you're barely thinking you're keeping it together, you're doing a really great job.
You're doing just fine.
You're making it. You are making it. I would say.
Right, that's good to know.
Yeah. I mean, if you're right on that verge of thinking, oh my gosh, I'm a hot mess, I think you're accomplishing a lot and you should be very proud of yourself.
Okay. I'm going to tell myself that next time.
As you look at my purse and I'll give you an example, okay? Does that look like somebody that's organized and got it together? No.
I don't know. It looks pretty. You got a folder in there.
Did you ever, you're too young to remember that show, Let's Make a Deal?
Yes.
It's door like a number show one, thing. Two, and
yeah.
three.
Yeah.
Monty Hall.
Yeah,
so
okay.
He would go up to people in the audience and say, if you can find a hard-boiled egg in your purse, I'll give you $1,000. I would kill it on that show. That's just a side note. That's
okay.
What we do.
Do you have a granola bar or something in there?
Go-Go Squeeze.
Ooh, Go-Go Squeeze. Okay, perfect.
I have baby socks.
Thank you. I was, okay. My toes were getting cold.
I have tiny sunglasses. There you go. Isn't this fun on a podcast? It's you're visualizing it. Even though you're not here, we feel as though you are. I have a folder of information, a baby bib, an invitation to the Halloween spooktacular.
Oh, are you going?
Well, that was about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. It's
so
not Halloween. It's
over. But that's okay.
It's literally November. I
and
still think it's
Halloween. And the granola bar that you asked for. There you
perfect.
Go.
Winner, winner. Happy. Let's make a deal. All right. Jenny, thank you so much for joining me.
Love you, girl. Tune in if you haven't. This is the podcast to listen for what we do.
Thanks, Jenny. Thanks for listening. Tune in every Tuesday for the latest episode of the What We Do by Kira Kazantsev podcast. Follow at Kira Kazantsev on all social for podcast updates, or go to whatwedo.live or whatwedopodcast.com for our blog, photos, bonus content, and info. Questions? Email us at info@whatwedo.live. See you next week. What We Do by Kira Kazantsev is mixed and mastered by Resonate Recordings. Interested in starting your own podcast? As a What We Do listener, you can go to resonaterecordings.com to get your first episode produced for free. Just let them know we sent you. If you have a podcast or are considering starting one, I can't recommend them enough. They are amazing audio engineers that understand podcasting like no one else. Go to resonaterecordings.com to get your first episode produced for free today.